So she came down, looked at the light, looked at the bike man, looked at his bike, and insisted the man entered the car. That if you go to the market and let's go and buy new lights. And they finished pricing the light and buying it. So the man, you can go. But I wanted to see the amount of damage you caused. That if you have not broken light, I will replace with 1,500 naira. You've broken light, I will pay 30,000 naira to replace. So I want you to know how much sin I have forgiven you. I don't know. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is actually looked at the man, you know. He said the bike, you know, brand new bikes now, I'm at the 50,000, 60,000 naira. He said that man's bike. He won't buy this light. And why do you want to sell his bike anyway so that his children won't eat again? He said, no, this man shouldn't go like that. Let him just come and see the amount of problem he has caused by his carelessness. So you may just say, it's an ordinary light I broke. But go and ask the person whose light you broke. All these man cars you see driving around town, go and jam one of them. And the guy decides, come and replace my light. That's the one you will pray. That means, forgive me of my sins. Now, I'm using it. In fact, that's just a beautiful illustration to show that you really can't waste sin. You know, in your opinion, it might be mild. You know, somebody will tell you that, after all, what is it now? We never beg him. Who told you that begging? You know, people believe that once they have apologized, I've told you sin has to be paid for. Somebody must pay for the sin. What I try to tell people now, maybe a man runs into your car, you know, and damages something. Out of carelessness, and he's saying sorry. I say, you don't understand. Sorry is not, oh God, don't kill me. Sorry that you are saying is that I should take my money this early morning and go and buy something that's worth 5,000 naira because of your carelessness. That is just like I was passing on the road and you came and said, please, give me 5,000. Please, give me 5,000. It's the same thing. And a man, people just be like, I'm sorry, it's payment. See, if a man does not forgive you after you've said I'm sorry, he has not sinned. To refuse to show too much mercy is not sin. After all, you cannot even restore that part. Let's take a vehicle as an example. Back to its original state. It's going to be mended. It's already dropped in value. Now, I'm bringing out a point. That you see, when it comes to sin, sin is always paid for. And God looked at mankind. If you remember the story of Jesus Christ, he talked about a man who was owing so much money. And he went to his master and said, give me time, I will repay. And the man had compassion on him and forgave him. You have to understand, what the man was saying is that I am going to bear the loss. That loss has been incurred. Somebody has to pay. Now, that's what the blood of bulls and goats, that's what they do for us. That's they did for them then. That is, they showed mercy. They showed faith in the ability of God to show mercy. I'm telling you that the mercy of God does not mean he just say, okay, forget it. The mercy of God is that, forget it, I will pay for it. It has to be paid. You are getting my point? I was explaining something, that sin is very, very powerful. Sin is the main short circuit to the existence of mankind. Every blessing that God has given, what short circuits it is sin in the hands of people. Is sin that men put upon the earth. Remember what I was studying last time? That it said the earth became polluted and it vomited up the inhabitants. That is the people by their iniquity. Remember what I said. Sin is not a matter of legislation. Whether your country agrees or they don't. He has said for men to marry men, are you getting my point, is an abomination and it pollutes a land. And that land will vomit up its inhabitants. You can never beg about it. Are you getting my point? However, what is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Like we've been reading, Isaiah chapter 53. We read from John chapter 1. It said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin. Now, you have to understand the meaning of the word sin again. Sin, I told you, is a real, you know, it's not physical. It's a tangible spiritual force. Are you getting my point? That releases the power of death upon the people. So when it says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the lying and the cheating of the... No, that's not what I was trying to say. It was saying that what their sin has produced, this is the Lamb of God that's taking it away. Are you getting my point? That is the result of their sin has to be borne by this person. And this is the blood that can cleanse away the sin no matter how bad. That is why I was telling that story about the weight of sin, is that no human being, therefore, can justly stand in the presence of God and say, I have done more good than evil. Therefore, I have paid for my sins. I have washed away the effect of my sin. You can try. But you cannot succeed because you don't know the power of sin that you have generated. I know another interesting part. The moment you begin to walk in sin, it makes you unable. Let me give an example. If you are working to eradicate your sin, it becomes a matter of selfishness. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is the power of love. It's one of those multiplication factors on the earth, and you already lack that. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? So God says, don't even try. What am I supposed to do? Therefore, there are two things you do. Number one, you have to come and accept my forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't mean I overlook it, so I will not punish you again. No, I say I will bear the cost of that sin, which is the sacrifice of his only begotten son. Are you getting the point? Then the second thing now says that, forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's in the same manner, learn to overlook the iniquity of other people and bear some cost yourself, which shows that you are understanding the principle by which you are surviving. There's one message Pastor Kwaju preached. I have it there. In one of my, this thing, in my collection, they call it intercession. In that one, he was talking about the power of love. Like talking about forgiveness. You are getting my point. Now, please, the main thing I'm trying to explain today is that sin is very powerful. It's the reason why men sow and they don't reap. It's the reason why the problem now in the middle, in London, is that the Al-Qaeda is planning to bomb 10 planes over the Atlantic on their way to the United States. It's called sin. Listen, whether they will succeed or not is not decided by the vigilance of the security forces. It is decided by the mercy of God. Whether men reach to God for mercy or they don't. I'm explaining something here. Sin must always be paid for. And the payment for sin, the Bible says, is the Lord Jesus Christ that uses his blood to wash away the stain, the effect that sin has on people on this earth. You are getting my point. And a woman has to consciously reach for that power to cleanse himself or herself from the effect of sin. That's why God now said, the just shall acquire life by faith. That is, I am saying that I will take care of it. You know, it's not a matter of I have done so much evil, let me try and do some good. That is saying that Jesus cannot pay for it, so you want to try by yourself. Are you following my point? Listen, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That is a scientific factor. It's not a joke. Are you following my point? It is not a joke. What he's saying is that where men will have died for lack of understanding, I will give them understanding. Where the sin of their ancestors has corrupted their blessing, because you have to understand something, light and darkness are, darkness is not absolute. It only appears as a result of the absence of light. Are you following my point? It only appears as a result of the absence of light. Therefore, when people have been cursed, what they are saying in effect is that blessing is absent. What are we saying? That their blessing has been short-circuited. I hope you are getting the point I'm trying to say. That is, the blessing has been short-circuited. It's not getting down to the earth. Therefore, if a man is going to receive that blessing again, he has to have the short-circuiting. Remember our dust and the blower. The blower must blow away the dust. And the Bible says that that blower is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? Listen, sin is never just forgiven. That God say, forget to. Don't do it again. No. The only thing he does is to take responsibility for payment for that sin. Are you following the point I'm making? Now, let's just go back to what we're reading. I said the effect of sin and the necessity for forgiveness or cleansing. Now, what is forgiveness? Forgiveness, I said, is not just that God overlooks. That is unjust. That is injustice. Is that God has made payment. And what human beings must do is to now walk in the manner that they have come to accept. Are you getting me? That God has taken responsibility. And one of the ways they do it is that issue of repentance. Now, are you following my point? Repentance is actually not payment. Repentance is not payment for sin. The repentance is that you have come to recognize that your manner of life generates negative forces. And God is going to take care of that. But you don't do like, you know, you read a lot of books that some Americans, not because they're American, but because of the way their system works. They use a lot of credit cards. And they hear their preacher say, they pray that God help us out of debt. We're in debt, we're in debt. They say, okay, God will now finally help them out of debt. Are you following my point? At the end of the day, at the end of that year, they are more in debt than they were at the beginning. Why? Because they are using credit cards. They have not yet told themselves that I'm in debt, not because I am poor, but because I cannot redo my lust. You know, somebody told me a story once about a man of God actually, who was owing a lot of money. And they decided that it was embarrassing for this man to be owing this amount of money. So some brethren gathered together, raised the money, and paid off the debt. About 500,000 naira. At the end of the year, he was owing 1 million. That is, there was no repentance. That's what I'm trying to explain. So God pays the debt. God eradicates the problem. But the people have not yet begun to walk in a new light. They have not accepted the newness of life so that they stop generating such rubbish forces. So they are always back to square one. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? They are always back to square, which shows that there's all the Bible because they tempted God in the wilderness and limited the Holy One of Israel. That is, they are limiting what God could have done for them because they are not walking in repentance. Repentance doesn't mean always crying for past sins. Hey, God, you know, if I had a chance to do that, I wouldn't do it. Oh, God, you'll be feeling sad. Actually, you know the interesting part? That's still part of human ego. You are trying to bear the burden. Are you getting my point? That's why a lot of our religions, a lot of our Orthodox religions, what they do is they teach you how to do penance, you know, for your sins. That is, you have done this, you have to feel some pain. You know, are you getting my point? That is, you cannot just go like that and tell a man he is forgiven. No, you just go. Are you following my point? He said, so the guy has to feel pain. You make him kneel down, you make him do the, you make him go through processes that will make him suffer for what he has already done. Now, listen. The times that God does that, I've seen him do it a few times. All right? I will show you what he really did. What he did was, not they were not paying for their sin. You have to understand something. Sin, I'll talk about the power of prayer in a moment again. You can't really pay for sin the way things are. But what God does is to help people so as to dissuade them. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm going to say. You know, it's called the chastisement of God. The chastisement of God is never punishment for sin. It's never payment for sin. Payment for sin under the old covenant, go and check it, is always by blood. He said, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission, no forgiveness. When he was saying shedding of blood, it doesn't mean that if you don't cut yourself and let some blood fall out. The shedding of blood, there must be a giving up of life. Are you getting my point? That is, the animal must die. You don't bleed this small, then heal the wound and say, okay, this blood is enough. What did you say you did? You stole something in the market. Okay, let's just bleed the animal 2 liters. That's enough. Sprinkle it. No, that animal must die. Because if you go and read Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, the essence of blood is that it contains life. He said the life of the animal is in his blood. The life of all flesh, he said, is in his blood. It's that shedding of the life that really matters to God. Are you following the point I'm making? Now, so, this is how God does it. Even if he appears to be punishing people, all right? If it is not that his children are, you have to understand this. God punishes those who are his own. Now, you know, he chastises. That's what the Bible calls chastisement of the Lord. It's chastening of the Lord. You are getting the point I'm trying to make. Now, it's different from when somebody is walking in the power of death. The power of death and the chastening of the Lord, they are two different things. Do you understand my point? That is, a Christian is walking in iniquity and God is doing things to him to ensure he comes out of it. There was something that God said to David. Let me just show that to you. There's something that God told David when he was giving him promises. 2 Samuel chapter 7. It said, I don't want to read everything because of time. Let me just start from verse 12. It said, when your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish his throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, notice this, I will correct him with the rod of men, and the strokes of the sons of men. But my loving kindness shall not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. He said, your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever. Now, what I want to explain there is that issue when he talked about the rod of men. Are you getting me? We were talking about God said that I will correct him with the rod of men and the strokes of the son of men. What he was explaining that this is a matter of correction. This is not just recompense of reward. This is not atonement for his sin. This is not that the man has now suffered so that he can now say, I have suffered for my sins. Are you getting my point? That the way the man says suffering for his sins, that is, I am suffering as a consequence of my sins. You cannot suffer as payment for your sin. You don't know the weight of that sin. Are you getting my point? So what was God saying? That when the man has a problem, that's when a man walks in iniquity, I'm chastising him so as to draw him back again, all right, to the path of righteousness. When David decided to go and number Israel, and God was going to forgive them, he had to offer sacrifices. Do you understand my point? Now, what was it that made God? What was it that God achieved in all the things that happened to David? It was to turn his heart away from his wicked ways. The punishment for that sin was that sacrifice. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? When I say punishment, now the atonement, yeah, that's a better word. The atonement for that sin was the sacrifice that he offered, adding more for Jesus to carry at the end of the day. Are you following my point? That is, sin is always paid for. But when God chastises men like this, it is not that their sin is being paid for. It is that he's correcting his children to walk in the path of righteousness. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? What really pays for sin is that power of the blood of Jesus. And the way a man taps into it is by walking in faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me say this again. Listen, good works are good, but they don't ever pay for evil works. People talk about, what about in previous times, before Jesus came, before we heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? I say it like this: God is very merciful. Very, very merciful. And if he shows somebody's mercy, he shows somebody mercy, and that he's overlooking his sin. The Bible says that appears like unrighteousness. But what he was doing was that Jesus, he was keeping their sin, taking responsibility for it, that at the end of days, Jesus will come as punishment for those sins. I hope you understand what I've said so far. All right? Now, I was saying something the other time about Daniel, when Daniel began to pray. All right? And he was praying. Now, you have to understand this, that human beings are not on the same level. Are you following my point? God, it's not as if God chooses one person and rejects another. Many are called, but few respond to that call of God for their lives. Now, amongst the few that respond to the call of God, they are like God's channels for impacting blessing to the earth. When we did Anatomy of Prayer, we explained some of these things. People like that have the ability, are you following my point, to call down God's mercy upon the iniquities of a nation. Now, he has a limit. I'm not saying he doesn't have a limit. I don't know what exactly the limit is. And you can see the limit if you read Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 1, in which God says that even if Samuel and Moses were to pray, he would not even forgive these particular iniquities. And when he sent a prophet to the house of Eli, remember what he said? That the sin of Eli and his sons cannot be atoned for by sacrifice. That is, this one is too much. I have to kill the people myself. Are you following my point? That this is a sin we cannot forgive. I'm bringing out a point here. Anytime something is done on the earth, blood is shed, for example, on the earth, the blood of the innocent, we have found from the scriptures that blood has to be cleansed. That's about the most powerful of the judgments that you can incur on a land, shedding the blood of innocent people. It's very, very terrible. Very, very terrible. Now, this is what God does. Instead of bringing judgment, he looks for an intercessor. Are you following my point? An intercessor is not just a man who has agreed to pray. You have to understand this. An intercessor is not a man who has agreed to pray. An intercessor is a man who has the ability to pray. Not that he has learned enough English, not that he has learned enough scriptures to use and, you know, like you say, argue your case with God. And tell God, look at it now. You can't do it like this. According to section 555 of Hebrews chapter 5, you don't do that with God. It is the weight of the personality in God's presence. When we're talking about anatomy of prayer, I explain what I call one in prayer. That is, one man praying. There must be something That is, in Moses, we stand. God said, let me destroy them. Moses will say, I am not moving. If you want to destroy them, pass through me. Are you getting my point? Now, it's not as if God couldn't pass through him just to show him that he could do it. It's just that Moses was a specific type of person that God highly honored. Now, let me explain that point. God highly honored Moses. The angel spoke to Daniel. He said, you are highly esteemed in God's presence. Are you getting my point? Now, when nations commit sin, when judgment is due for a land, when God has people like that, they are the ones that can, by their prayer, are you following me? Just like Daniel. The Bible said that Daniel was highly esteemed. And I believe in those 21 days, when God wanted to bring down the blessing, he was praying. Are you getting me? And by his prayer, he was clearing up the heavens, bringing up the mercy of God to remove the stain of sin. Are you following the point I'm making? Are you getting my point? Now, I'm trying to make that practical for today. We are in nations that if God were to bring judgment according to what men have done, my brother, we can't survive. Are you following my point? But what makes a difference is that inside that nation, because right now, what makes a woman absolutely special in God's presence is the faith that he has in Christ Jesus. Because you have to understand that is the greatest thing that God ever did. Do you understand my point? Let me explain this, please, just to use something to explain it. Have you ever bought a gift for somebody before and he or she did not appreciate it? You know the way you felt. Do you understand my point? Even if you appreciated it and you said, oh, very nice, and just pass one small comment and say, ah, this thing is blue. Why didn't you buy red? You know, instantly, your soul drops. You know, your countenance will fall. You understand my point? Now, God has now brought the greatest gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish. Do you understand my point? That was why in Hebrews he said that, how can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You are understanding what I'm trying to say here. Now, so the greatest way by which you can impress God today is that faith in his son, Jesus Christ. You cannot do better than that. And of course, when we're talking about faith in other times, we have explained the practicality of that. It's not just to say that I have faith in Jesus Christ and you move the way you move like. He has said this, that he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but live for the one who died and rose again on their behalf. Living for Jesus Christ is the greatest honor you can do to God today. So when a woman does that, what God now says is that these are special people before me. Are you getting my point? That is a sin that is upon the land. If they cry to God for mercy, are you following me? Because of their faith, that sin is taken away by the blood of Jesus Christ. I hope you are getting my point. That's why Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Are you getting me? That is, you are the reason why I will not destroy the earth. That's what he was saying. Salt of the earth doesn't settle quarrel. You understand the principle? Salt of the earth is that, if you know the kind of sin where human beings they commit, you will know God is really long-suffering. You know, I traveled the other day, and they told me that one man died. And I said, what happened? Then Jesus led to another one. And they said, you know this man? That they will send their wives to Italy to go and commit, and to go and do prostitution and bring the money back home. And you see the man, when I was telling somebody that today in my office, he said there was one man who sent his wife abroad. That one married a white man and brought the white man back to Nigeria. Don't let me mention where exactly. And the man was bringing money and they were building a house. And they employed her husband as a gate man. That is, the man did not know that the real husband of this woman, Naim Vidi, is our gate man. Of course, when the man went away, he became the landlord. I said, iniquity. Sin. God said the wages of harlotry must never come near his temple. Now, let me tell you what. Men have done enough for God to just be like, bam! After tsunami, volcano, after volcano, volcano, earthquake, after earthquake, cholera. After cholera, then HIV will kill the rest. Then the one that survived, one nuclear bomb will just drop by accident. But why has he not done it? That's what he calls the salt of the earth. They are the ones that plead. That's the meaning of the word, pleading the blood of Jesus. It's not just to shout the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. That's not it. is to look and say that iniquity is in this land. And if we don't ask God for mercy, everybody's dead. So God looked at Abraham. He said, if I find 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, I won't smoke them like that. These people are the reasons why God will have preserved Sodom and Gomorrah, and they will have been called the salt of Sodom and Gomorrah. Are you getting my point? Now, please, let me just round up everything I'm saying with this practical issue. That you and I, we talk about Nigeria, we talk about nations of the earth. Listen, sin is never just overlooked. Sin is always paid for. To bring that credit that the blood of Jesus has purchased, you know, for the cleansing of the sins of the whole world, he needs those who have faith in him. Do you understand my point? That is, by their faith, we say, what does sin weigh? We don't know. But one thing we know, that no matter how heavy the sin, it cannot outweigh the faith that the man has in Christ Jesus. It can't. You get my point? Therefore, we have a responsibility, because that's what kills land. It is not whether the PDP has agreed to move to the north or south or southeast or south south or north or whatever. That's not the point. It's whether the salt of the earth there, they rise up to God in prayer, because it's a matter of supplications. Are you getting my point? That they call to God for forgiveness for their land. You understand my point? Listen, the only person, like I said, that pays is not the amount of hard work you do. It's not where, look, as a nation, we have spent a lot of money on charity. Yes. God, sometimes we withhold judgment because of certain good works that some people are doing, but the sin still has to be paid for. And like I said, it's only faith in Jesus Christ right now that can really bring down the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus to cleanse a land from the effect of their sin. I wanted to add that one to before I close. Now, let us pray.